This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon, Shaletta. How the heck are you on this day after Thanksgiving?
You know, I just have to tell you, all is well because I get to talk to you. I mean, it's only like one time a year. We need to fix that. I don't know if you want to give me your personal home number or address so that I can just pop by and call whenever I want to. But I don't really want to wait for Chad Hartman to go on a holiday break on a Friday after Thanksgiving or Christmas for us to really chat. I mean, I'm tired. I think it was a year since the last time we actually were on the radio together.
Well, that is probably true. I'm glad you're joining me now. I got to make sure I'm mentioning here the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. But yes, it's nice to have a chance to chat with you. Are you a Black Friday shopper? Do you get out and try to take advantage?
No, sir. There's nothing that anybody has available that I want to line up at the Mall of America for at 4 o'clock in the morning outside in the cold, unless Michael Jackson raises from the dead and or Oprah's in there and she's got a contract for me to sign. I'm not. I'll just pay regular price, Mr. Hines. I don't have that kind of time or patience. I like to feel my feet. I don't want to live that life.
Keep that in mind. Shaletta's willing to pay retail, so that's good if you can do it. So
I don't have it because you know if you think about it, the time you spend out there, you know whatever you make hourly, you just giving it back. You just giving it back.
Well, that's commerce, isn't it?
Yeah, time is what they used to say. Time is money.
Well, that's
time
that's
is money.
That's the way commerce works. You know, you earn it, you spend it. I guess that's the way to go about it. Hey, I know something that you wanted to bring up was the program that you watched recently, the one that Kathy Werzer worked tirelessly on to put together the Broadcast Wars special that you had a chance to see.
Did you watch it?
I've only seen what was called part one, 30 minutes. I watched it last evening. How do I get more of it? I mean, do they release?
You can go to tpt.org And if you type into the search bar Broadcast Wars, there's three sections, and you can watch episode 1, episode 2, and episode 3. Now, anybody who watched it live, it was just one long continuous program, but the way they have it broken up online, which is very easy to find at tpt.org, episode 1, 2, and 3, and it's really just they have to break it up online, in 30, 45 minute segments. But I tell you, you got to get on there and watch it. It was some good, juicy tea. You know, nowadays, Mr. Hines, we know everything as soon as it happens because somebody's a snitch or an informant, or they're getting online on social media. They got the video. They've got the audio. They've got somebody confessing to one thing or another. But back in the day, you ain't know why Cindy Bricado left. You didn't know what happened to Pat Miles. You did not know Don Shelby was drinking and coming to work in the same clothes he left in the day before. We're finding out all the stuff now that we typically find out on social media the very next day it happened.
Well, yes. And keep in mind, Shaletta, that I lived much of that time. So
that's what I know. That's why you should have been watching. You know, we should have had a live watch party, me and you. And we should have watched it together. Now, did you know any of this, T? Did you know about Paul Majors and Ron Majors and how Mr. Hubbard was mad that he left and went to Chicago and all this stuff about Don Shelby drinking and Pat Miles and Cindy Bricado coming for each other? Did you know any of this stuff back in the day?
Well, I hate to say yes, but I did. I did. I used to work. I worked at Hubbard when Ron Majors was the go-to guy. And I would, before he would go on the air, I'd be standing in the color studio. They referred to it as the color studio. And I'd be standing there BSing with him just before he went on the air. And then it'd be like, oh, I got to go. And one of the things about a guy like that, and Paul Majors was pretty much the same way. I've gotten to know him over the years. But Ron Majors didn't just read the news. He had a prompter and he had a script in front of him, but he knew the news. He knew what those stories. So did Dave Moore. I mean, all of those guys, they knew this stuff. And they were not just the readers. They were the people who actually could deliver it because they knew it.
Yeah, and you know what I really appreciated about Kathy Werzer is how she weaved some black history in there. She told us all about Toni Hughes, the first African-American female weather person over at, what's now Care 11. And, her history and how she got started, and talked to her family, her sister and her daughter. And, and one of the things they said, Mr. Hines, is that, you really have to have an appreciation of the people who come before you. And I had no idea about this woman.
I am in
Twin Cities Media. Here's this woman who laid the foundation and the groundwork for me and Roxanne Battle and Angela Davis and all of us. And I had no clue that she even existed.
And I knew, this is why I mean, Lou Harvin and Neil Murray and I grew up with Byron Barnett. Do you remember? I don't know if he made the cut in the documentary.
No, he was not in the documentary. Mm-mm.
But he went on to be a very successful anchor. He left, I think he was at KSTP, and then he left the Twin Cities to go to Boston, where he became the lead anchor in Boston for a number of years. So a kid, a friend of mine from South Minneapolis.
Well, okay, so you have to tell me this. This tickled me to pieces. Is all these years later, it seemed like Mr. Hubbard was a little salty about Majors leaving and going to Chicago. He, all these years later, he still called him a traitor.
What?
Mr. Hubbard was holding on to that grudge.
You know, one of the last days, no, not the last day that I worked at Hubbard, I finished the show that I was doing. I was doing a live television show for an hour each day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. We were live, a magazine show. But the last day that I worked, I went upstairs to his office and said goodbye. Thanks for the opportunity. And he was very gracious. It was a great opportunity for me. This was in 1975 to 1981. I mean, this is ancient history for you, I suppose.
No, but this is the thing. I did not know this about you. Now, you got to give me the scoop on this. Now, what kind of show was this, and what were you doing? Were you hosting and producing?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Let me get a cigarette so I can sit down and get the whole story.
Well, Steve and Sharon had a live show from 9 to 10, Monday through Friday.
A married couple. That was the, what you call the show, the Good Morning Minnesota or something like that?
No, it was originally called Twin Cities Today. Then later on, they came back and did a show called Good Company. But the original show was Twin Cities Today. And when they left, I took that show over and co-hosted Shaletta, me putting on a tie and makeup every Monday through Friday. Yes.
Okay, now who are you hosting the show with? This is some tea right here. This is the after party type of situation, because we didn't get this in the documentary. Now who did you host the show with?
For the most of that duration, with June Lindsay, who was the co-host of that show. Okay. She and I would co-host that show. We would do cooking segments and meet and greet authors and some politics in there, but it was mostly a magazine type show from nine to 10, Monday through Friday. And then we had to be done at 10 because the Love Boat was going to be on and reruns.
The Love Boat was coming on. Now you got to tell me this. Now, which one do you like better? Do you like, okay, because I know we got to go to commercial break, then we can come back, and maybe you need to think about this over the commercial break. I'm not trying to run your show, but I usually run people's show. Now, when we come back from commercial break, I want you to tell me which one you like better, radio or TV?
Oh, I can tell you that when we come back. Yes, I will tell you that, and I will tell you why when we continue. So, Shaletta, stick around here. This will be good. We'll take a time out. We'll come back, and we'll shoot the breeze for a few more minutes here, all right?
Good.
A little feisty Friday with Shaletta Brundage on Chad Hartman's show here. News Talk 830 WCCO. John Hines in for Chad Hartman on this Friday. And because it's Friday and we are in this 1 o'clock hour here, get a chance to chat with Shaletta Brundage. Feisty Friday. She joins Chad every Friday, and I'm happy to have a chance to shoot the breeze with you this afternoon, Shaletta. So what was the question?
The question was, because I had no idea, I thought you were always, and this is on me for not knowing my history about you. I pride myself on being a stalker. I thought I knew everything about you, right? And so I did not know that you did a magazine show over at Hubbard Broadcasting for years, before Good Company came back on.
And so you
got to do, and this is back in the day when you had a makeup artist and a hair person and a wardrobe person.
Now they make themselves, right?
So I know you had somebody putting your town and, you know, putting the roller on you so you make sure you don't go on TV with lint, somebody doing your hair, fluffing it up for you. So, you know.
That didn't happen. That did not happen. No, I would get there. I would get into the makeup room buy suits and ties and put the makeup on myself and do all of that. So, yes. And I did that show for, I think, 2 years, somewhere 2 years, maybe a little longer than that. But one day I thought, you know what? I want to go back to radio. So with radio, all you got to do is brush your teeth and put on a baseball cap and go out the door and you're ready for work. Nobody knows, right?
Nobody knows.
And you can, I mean, there were times, because I got back into radio then in 1981 with the great Bob Berglund, and we had a very successful radio show for about 10 years or so. And there were times where not necessarily the most responsible of broadcasters, you know, coming to work from who knows what direction on what given day. So it was the 80s after all. So it was different.
Yeah.
But, you know, and radio, though, we were just allowed to do so much because and it was even before the corporate structure really kicked in. So we had an owner, and not unlike, you know, working for Hubbard, where there was one owner and you could get to that person and talk to that person.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same thing for the radio station that I worked for back in the day, where there was, I knew who the owner was, and I knew, you know, you knew exactly who you were working for and what they cared most about at the time. And you saw this in the documentary that Kathy Werzer put together, was, mm-hmm. you know, ratings win. And now it seems to me sometimes in 2024 that where the stock is trading is more important than where the ratings are.
Now you're preaching right there. That's preaching. We're going to take up a tithe because that was a whole sermon. Now you got to tell me this. You did TV, you did radio. Which one did you like the most and why?
I think radio, because of the freedom that came with it. But, you know, and people say, well, there's a certain anonymity to radio where, you know, people don't know who you are or whatever. But we were so present in the community that everybody knew who we were. And I mean, for years, I didn't have an unlisted phone number. I mean, nobody ever called. We did not have on the radio show that I was doing with Bergie at the time, we mm-hmm. did not have a delay button, a dump button, as they call it.
We
had live listeners on the air every day. And the reason we didn't have one is because we didn't need one. The listeners were happy just to participate, and we never got cheap shotted by some listener who was trying to call up and you know, kick the chair out from under us. So,
well, you know, that's because y'all are some stand up dudes. I mean, even today, you're a stand up guy, and there's just a certain amount of respect for men and women who are just stand up people. You know, you're out in the community. People know you. Your word is your bond. So nobody is trying to be unkind or do anything disruptive to the guy who's out in the community, who's everybody's favorite uncle, who is, you know, just having fun on the radio and having a good time. I tell people all the time, you don't want it with me. I'm the woman out here giving away locks to kids with autism to keep them safe in the house and handing out hams to your aunties and your grandmothers. I promise you, if you go out here in this community and you say something bad about me, somebody's going to bust you over the head with a bag of nickels. Not because I'm so great, but because I'm a stand-up woman and I'm out here in the community trying to help people. So nobody don't want it with me. Really, they don't, because
I do
too much good and I have too much goodwill and my word is my bond. So they don't want it with me.
No, that's right. And as a part of the community, and we knew this, the same thing when I got to work at K102, where I was for 17 years with Donna Valentine, Mike Musman, Gino Ruberto, some of the greatest broadcasters that I ever had a chance to work with. We did a lot in the community. And by doing those things in the community, you know, I know that you were a part of Fraser Community Services recently, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
right.
Honey,
yes.
I raised $1 million for them at their gala. Now you must call me the $1 million MC, because that's what I do. When I host the gala, I'm going to raise $1 million. So you must now, from now on, I'm getting my birth certificate and everything changed. First name, $1 million, middle name, MC.
Well, see, and I did an event for Fraser Community Services for probably 5 years in a row. I did their annual fundraiser for them. So, it was just to being a part of, if you live in the community, you kind of feel an obligation to put something back into the community. So I'm asking all these listeners to support me every single day when I was on the air. So by golly, I'll get out and do what I can to be a benefit to your community, make your community a better place for all of us.
But wait, how are we going to bring that around? Because these young whippersnappers now, we've raised them to be getters and not givers. And so yes, you have a hard time looking for some of the younger anchors or radio hosts or broadcasters really authentically being out in the community, and not because the station says we're going to do this, but just because they want to do their part. Here, and that's not just Minnesota. That's everywhere.
We built our success by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and people would say, oh, yeah, I know them. They're half decent guys. So, yes, when we would do, like, we'd get a call from the Minnesota North Stars back in the day saying, hey, we've got 40 tickets to give away for a particular game. And rather than just give those tickets away, we would get a bus, meet somewhere, and take 38 listeners with us, and we would go to the game with them. And that's why I say coming to work from a different direction some mornings, because by the time that evening was over, it was like, oh, good Lord, it's time to go to work again. So,
okay, Shaletta? Now, wait, you got to tell me this. You got to tell me this real quick, because I know we got to go.
All right.
Got to tell me this. So Kathy Werzer said that they're going to do a broadcast wars, but with the radio stations, because this one was all about TV. Now, you got to tell us a radio secret that we could possibly see on broadcast wars that would blow our minds, because we learned some good juicy tea in the one she's got right now at tpt.org. So if she came to you and said, John Hines, I'm doing a radio broadcast wars, and asked you for some juicy tea and or secrets, what would be the thing that we would be like, oh my God?
I would tell her that back in the day, Hines and Berglund, Dave Ryan, Tom Bernard, Chuck Knapp, Michael J. Douglas, all of these people were actually friends, even though we were fierce competitors. We were far better friends and with each other than anybody would ever know.
Mr. Hines, that's not, I need to know who was doing cocaine, who was stealing out of Dayton's. I need to say that kind of stuff, okay? I need that kind of stuff. I don't want the friend stuff. I want some juicy tea.
You'll have to watch the documentary. Yeah, you tell Kathy. Well, Kathy, I mean, we're from the same neighborhood, so she knows how to get in touch. You have a great day, Shaletta. Thanks.
You too. God bless you.
This is Feisty Friday with Shaletta Brundage on News Talk 830 WCCO. Okay. Clever lead in. Nicely done, Josh. Thank you very much. I was telling Josh Wheeler, producer extraordinaire here on this Friday, filling in for the Chad Hartman show, as am I, John Hines here, filling in, that I had a baking question. So if you know something about this, I appreciate your input. You can call in on the Stiles Financial talk and text line at 651-461-9226. Or you could text in at that same place. But here's the story. I made an apple pie for dessert for Thanksgiving Day. I made the pie on Wednesday, and I made a beautiful apple pie. I used four kinds of apples: Gala, Cosmic Crisp, what was the other one I used? Granny Smith. And, of course, you got to use Honeycrisp for multiple reasons, because that's the Minnesota apple these days. I mean, perfected, developed, the University of Minnesota, the Honeycrisp apple. So, and they're all great apples for pies. So I used four different kinds, seven in all. So, you know, you see that whole mounded up apple pie, and you think, well, there's a hollow underneath there. This one wasn't. This was apples all the way to the top. Turned out great. Turned out great. Took it out. I did that whole egg wash thing. Does any of this sound familiar to you at all, Josh, about baking? Probably not.
Not too much.
Not too much. I did the whole egg wash thing afterwards. You take some egg white, you beat it all up, and you take a brush and you brush the top of that pie, sprinkle a little sugar over it all, kind of give it that shine when it comes out of the oven. It looked like something that could have made the cover of Better Homes and Garden. It looked great. And I know that it was a flaky pie crust. However, I did not cut into it on Wednesday because you want to let it cool and you want to have a nice pie to present for dessert on Thanksgiving Day after we had finished a very nice Thanksgiving meal with some friends and some family. So it was a great get-together. However, and this is the part where I need an experienced cook to give me some tips here, an experienced baker to give me some tips, because storing the pie overnight, after letting it cool thoroughly, I wrapped the pie. Well, when you wrap the pie, the crust ended up getting like soggy there. I was so thoroughly disappointed when I cut into the top crust, which should have been light and flaky with that beautiful shine to it, sugar sprinkled over the top. It should have been flaky, but it came out soggy. So here's where I need some help from someone who knows their way around the kitchen. Should I have just let it sit out and not bother to cover it and wrap it? Is that why it became soggy? If you've got an answer, please share it with me. I know this sounds like, you know, first world problems here, but I after all that time, and you know, and this was such an endeavor that I even used the salsa maker that I got from my friends at Syndicate Sales, the one that you get at the state fair. It's got that nice slicer on the top of it. I thinly sliced apples, 7 of them in all. You're supposed to use like 6 cups. I probably had more than that in there. So, but that's okay. So what's the secret to having that crust not be soggy afterwards? If you know, you can ring in at the Stiles Financial talk and text line, 651-461-9226. Somebody, here's the sad thing. I should have called my friend. I've got a friend who for many years ran a great bakery in South Minneapolis called A Baker's Wife. We went to high school together, Gary Toll, who this guy knows his way around, you know, baking. I should have asked him how to best preserve this thing, but I didn't think of it. So if you've got an idea, share it with me. Again, you can text. If you can keep it simple, it's text at 651-461-9226. If you know a baker that has a solution, call them. Get them to call us. So are we getting any takers at all on this, Josh, or am I just barking at the moon here?
Nothing. Nothing yet.
Oh, wow. Crickets. Crickets chirping. Should we try giving them a commercial timeout and see? Oh, here's a text that says, put a towel over baked items until it's time to go, then cover it. Here's a text that says, the problem is you use 7 cups of apples instead of 6. I don't think that's the problem. I think it's kind of like putting, I think it's like putting raisins in an oatmeal raisin cookie. You really can't do too many. You know, so I don't think that the 7 cups of apples was too many. Here's a text says, yes, I should have left it uncovered overnight. Okay, there's a couple of helpful, beneficial texts. I'll try that the next time. I'll try, but I'm assuming when they say put a towel over it, they mean just loosely drape a towel over it until it's time to go and then cover it for the... Okay, here, let me pick up on this one. 651-461-9226. Who am I chatting with here this afternoon on WCCO? Good afternoon.
Hello?
See, if you're... Hi, yes, that's you and me. Who's
yes,
this?
That's me. Yeah, I'm Elizabeth. I used to be a professional baker. I have some input for you. 7 cups of apples sound too much to me. I never use that many. And no, you don't need to, especially if you covered it with plastic.
Tightly wrapped with foil.
Oh, yeah, still, you're just creating a bath for your crust.
Oh.
Yeah, that's sorry.
So I could. If I had left it uncovered overnight, would that have been an would that have helped it?
It would have.
Okay.
Yeah, it absolutely would have. So and then the next day, cover it with, you know, before you bring it somewhere, just cover it with a clean dish towel.
Sure, just so you don't make Right.
So that you're not making it. You're not making a steam bath.
Yeah, that's probably what I did, right?
That's probably what you did. But I bet it was still good.
Yeah, it was. Oh, it's very tasty, and there's only a small bit left over, so I'll be eating that later on. But okay, thanks for the tip. I just don't create that sealed container for it. In other words,
that's right.
Uh-huh. All
and
right.
Good luck to you next. Good luck to you next time.
Well, I'll do it again. I'm willing to try it again. So, yes.
That's good. Oh, yeah. No, there's. I can imagine your disappointment, especially when you take it out of the oven. I know that joy. You know, you take it out of the oven, and you can hardly believe that you made this thing.
Well, you can see it. Check out my Facebook page. Check me out on Facebook.
Okay.
You can find it there, and you'll say, oh, yeah, that is a good-looking pie. So, hey, have a great day. Thanks for ringing in.
You're welcome. Thanks for hosting.
It's fun.
It's been fun listening to you.
Well, we're not done yet, so don't give up on us. We'll be back. I got to get a commercial timeout here, but we'll have more coming up here. And more of your texts and comments at 651-461-9226. After this, News Talk 830, WCCO. 151, there's a time check. Time to replace your old windows with Infinity from Marvin and get free installation and labor. How about that? So take care of that. Here's a text. This one, I like the way they phrase this. Yeah, John, that thing you did with the pie, don't do that. Okay, good advice. I was talking about creating this magnificent apple pie. And again, you can find it on my Facebook page. I started out with the apples and then the process and the whole thing. I even figured out a hack, because you have to kind of cover the edges so that you cover the edges so that you'd, after the initial, I forget what it is, like 15 minutes or so of baking in the oven, so that they don't overcook. And I even figured out a great hack. I made this tinfoil to go around, hat to go around anyway. So, but it just turned out great. But I didn't eat it until the next day, and I wrecked it. Here's one. Hi, for John's apple pie dilemma. I've made many, and I'm thinking that it wasn't cool enough before you wrapped it. Cool it for several hours before covering it. Another one just says, leave it uncovered. So, let's see. There's old talk here about a cookbook. No. So, any darned way. Yeah, that's the extent of my baking knowledge. I did make a pumpkin pie as well. And a pumpkin pie is the very definition of easy as pie.
Yeah.
You know,
it's true.
It's true. It is. I mean, have you ever made a pumpkin pie?
Yes.
You just mix that can up with a couple of eggs, some sugar, some ground cloves, a little bit of ground cinnamon, but I don't remember what. Ground ginger. Stir it all up, pour it into the pan, and it's miraculous the way it sets up after a while. And that one, I know you're supposed to put in the fridge afterwards.
Yeah. Yep. It's got to kind of solidify, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Thicken up a little bit. Yep.
Very definition of easy as pie. I was a little you got to have very steady hands, though, because when you mix that up, the people at Libby's have this figured out, that it will exactly fill the pie shell. I mean, it'll take up all the available space in there.
Where do you stand on cherry pie? That's my
I love it.
Choice. Yes.
I love it.
It's a very underutilized pie at the Thanksgiving table, I feel like. Because the one I was at yesterday didn't have it, and I kind of had to sit that one out because that's kind of my go-to when it comes to pies and a big, huge Christmas/Thanksgiving dinner is cherry. So
somebody didn't ask you, what would you like to have for dessert? Let me make a cherry.
Pecan, and the pumpkin, unfortunately, the dough was, it looked a little undercooked, so I didn't want any part of that. So, yeah.
No. Understood. I understand that. And again, great Minnesota connection from back in the day. Because for a cherry pie, you use Wilderness pie filling, right? You probably don't know this.
Yes.
But Wilderness pie filling, Wilderness was a Gino Pellucci company. Gino Pellucci from Duluth. And he had Wilderness pie filling. And he also had Chungking. And of course, Gino's Pizza, but Wilderness Pie Filling, that was one of those products. So, obscure Minnesota connection.
Are you related to Duncan Hines?
No.
Okay.
But I'm spelled the same. When people ask me, Hines, how do you spell that? It spells the cake mix way, not the ketchup way. I would have been satisfied being related to either of them.
My wife did see Hines on a big big truck yesterday, and she's like, is that the ketchup Hines? I said, no, that's actually, and I honest to God said this, I said, no, that's the H-I-N-E-S John Hines filling in for Chad tomorrow with me way to spell it. So that is how I described it to her.
Yes.
Yes.
And when you go by 35W and 494, you can point out the billboard because he's also good with Blue Cross Blue Shield. So every time you turn around, especially during open enrollment, only another week to go of that, folks, and then you'll miss me when I'm gone. It'll be that simple. So time to put the toys away. Coming up in the next half hour, I'm looking forward to this. Going to chat some Vikings football. I'm still waiting, keeping my fingers crossed, for somebody to beat the Detroit Lions. Chicago Bears almost did it yesterday, but then almost just doesn't really cut it. But meanwhile, the Vikings have the Cardinals at home this weekend, so we'll hope that that goes well. We'll talk with Andrew Kramer about that and the prospects going forward. News Talk 830 WCCO. John Hines in for Chad Hartman. More to come in the next half hour.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are, right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or next hour.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.